Hello, and welcome to the second episode of the Spilt Milk podcast. My name is Sarah.
My name is Lauren.
And right now, I'm kind of stuck in a little bit of a winter storm. I haven't had school since Tuesday. I don't have school tomorrow either, so I have a five-day weekend. So it's been a really nice week. I was not expecting this at all. I was expecting it to be actually a really bad week, like on Monday. And then one of my professors said something about the storm, a brewing, and I had not heard about it. And it was great news. It was great. Everything got canceled. So I've just been chilling in here. I literally haven't touched my car since then. It has like probably a foot of snow on it. But yeah, how was your week been? Didn't mom and dad come down and visit you last weekend?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun. I got to not be in a dorm room for a weekend.
What did y'all do
with them?
Oh, nice.
We ate out a lot, got a lot of food. That was fun.
Nice.
But we went to like,
of course,
this shopping mall here, and it was like practically abandoned. It was kind of funny to look at it, honestly. Like all the stores that were open were just like so shitty. I don't know. Just random boutiques with like the ugliest clothes you've ever seen in your life. It was pretty funny to see, actually.
Was that you I went with? Were we together when we went to that really weird mall downtown Houston, and it was like all off-brand stores?
Oh, yeah.
That was so weird.
That's exactly what it looked like, except most of the things were empty.
It was eerie.
And the food court, it had three places, like not even normal like food court food, had three places, only one of them was open. So
oh my god, that's horrible. Yeah. Three restaurants. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, we went down there looking for like a smoothie, something really simple. Didn't know that the GPS system would lead me to a smoothie kiosk inside of this weird off-brand mall in like one of the worst places in Houston, just like driving wise. It's just like a pain in the fucking ass. And yeah, we were just like wandering through there. It really felt like a trip, like Alice in Wonderland type. But yeah, well, that's fun. So today I thought it would be fun to just kind of, I have like a list here of the worst TV shows that I've ever seen. And I thought it would just be fun for us to just kind of dwell on these terrible productions for a second, reminisce. You know, and compare our list also. So I want to hear what you go first. I want to hear what show you put down.
Okay, so the first one I put, which is just like a pretty staple bad show, which I have been watching a lot of recently, is Degrassi.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. And all the episodes are free on YouTube. So I've been watching I've been watching it, and it is so addicting.
Okay.
It's terrible, but addicting, definitely.
I remember like staying up late at night trying to watch it at like Nick at Night whenever it would play. So wait, is Next Generation like, is Drake on that one?
Yes, he is on that one.
Oh my god, I have to fucking watch it.
You have to.
Wait, did you see Drake unfollowed Rihanna and ASAP Rocky?
God, really?
Yes. <That's>
so funny.
After the picture, the photo. Yeah.
He was holding out hope.
Sorry.
He just thought maybe.
Yeah, he's maybe. Salty. He's so. That's and then there was like also. Sorry, just to
change it.
There's also another photo of him yesterday out and about, of Drake yesterday on about. And he was just like looking at his phone and looked really pissed. And everyone was like saying that it was him like seeing the photo of Rihanna and
ASAP.
That's
so funny.
I know.
Yeah, but Drake, what's cool though, is he like, he had a music video for a song, I'm Upset, and it just featured the Degrassi cast, like it was like a reunion. So, that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, oh my god, what's that fucking Degrassi? Shark in the Water.
Shark in the Water.
That is such a good song.
So good.
Oh my god. Like add that to my Spotify.
Mm-hmm. The promo for that, like that's such good
yes.
advertising. Because everybody, like, if you ever watch T-Nick, you, like, remember that. Like, they did something
yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, networks putting their, like, music videos as their own music videos, like their own stars' music videos as commercials, is genius.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I would have never learned like any of the other like Selena Gomez songs, like any of that type of shit. But anyways.
Yeah. So the most notable thing about Degrassi is that like it's one of the only teen shows where they like casted people who were like meant to be that age, you know, like the people they casted like were freshmen in high school. Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay,
the acting wasn't great, but still it was like okay, like the acting.
I really haven't seen it in so long. I'll need to rewatch it.
You need to.
I can't. I mean, imagining like freshmen in high school in general just having their own entire series and franchise is kind of terrifying.
It's just funny though. And they do this thing though that like a lot of TV shows I think nowadays do, but they were pioneers. But they just tried to tackle like every single issue possible known to man, and then it was just like always way above their level of writing, and so it would just be so watered down. Be like, oh, we're gonna talk about abortion in this episode, but like
every single
the writing is just like, they're like, they love a teen pregnancy. If there's a character they can kill off, they're gonna do it. Like it's
people
crazy.
Die in Degrassi. People die in Degrassi.
Oh. Oh, people die in Degrassi. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wait, wasn't Drake shot?
Oh, no, Drake
that's
was
how he
shot
ended up
in
the wheelchair.
Yes, okay. He didn't die though, but the kid who shot Drake killed himself in that episode.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but just like this is kind of a like I guess it's a spoiler if you care, but just to show you
I don't think
how
there's such thing as a Degrassi spoiler. The show came out like 20 years ago.
I know, and honestly, if you haven't seen it now, that's like your fault.
It's
but,
too late,
Just to show how crazy this is. This one storyline is this girl, Terry, she is like an overweight girl, I guess. And so that's, and she's like friends with a lot of popular skinny girls. And so she didn't have like a lot of attention from guys. And then she finally got a boyfriend and he like became abusive. And that was really bad. And so she tried to like break things off with him, and then he got really mad and pushed her down. But when she fell down, she hit her head on a rock and then got put in a coma.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So that was all
that's
in
intense.
One episode.
Degrassi?
Wow. Oh yeah.
In one episode? Like
and
one like 25
same
minute.
Guy, that same guy, he's the one who shot Drake.
Wow.
Because he
oh my god,
he came back to school. The girl transferred schools, but he came back to school and was obviously like bullied by her all of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Bullied, whatever. But he just like had it, and there was like one specific event that was like really bad, and he like went home, got a gun, and went back to school and decided like it was bad. But
oh my god,
that was just like one storyline.
Wow. Degrassi just like hitting all of the domains.
Oh yeah. they cover it. It's
wow.
So bad. Okay, what was your first one?
Sorry, I really haven't seen that much of Degrassi.
That's
okay. I need to rewatch it because I'm intrigued. Okay, so I guess the first one that I want to talk about, because I have a lot on here, Make It or Break It.
Oh my god, that's on my list too. Oh
good, okay. I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Make It or Break It. Make It or Break It.
I have been
first
rewatching
all,
this with my friend Carter right now. I just
oh,
wanted you
okay.
To know that.
So you're freshened up on it. I haven't seen it in a long
and
time.
And I also
but
rewatched it like during the summer. So
nice. Nice. This is just like secondhand. That's so funny. No. I mean, I haven't rewatched it in a long time, but I mean, it's engraved in my brain, unfortunately. Once you've seen it, especially at such a permeable age, I was at.
Yeah.
Make It or Break It. I loved it because of the gymnastics. Let's be honest. I don't think if they weren't gymnasts, I don't think my 10-year-old self would have been interested in the show at all. Because other than that, you take away the gymnastics of it all, and then they're literally just like, I don't know, Secret Life of American Teenager.
Oh, absolutely. That is so true. I mean, just ABC show.
Yeah, I know. But I fucking loved it at first. I really, really did. But it's so bad at the same time. Just the acting in general, the stunt doubles.
The stunt doubles, they never look anything like them. It's so funny.
They're like 45. I know. Yeah. So yeah, you definitely need to watch Make It or Break It if you haven't. I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu? Okay.
Yeah,
definitely take a trip down there if you haven't. I would put it on par with like Pretty Little Liars, you know. I almost wrote that on my list, Pretty Little Liars, but then I didn't because I was like, no, I kind of like that show. You did?
Yeah, I wrote it.
You wrote Pretty Little Liars? Oh, my God. I did write Pretty Little Liars. That's fine. I can go down there. I can talk about that route. I mean, let's talk about that. Why did you put Pretty Little Liars
on the
worst shows?
Because, it started out so good. And then they just kept on going. Really, and then I just lost track. It was like, oh, it was this person, but also like this whole group of people. And also this person. I'm like, oh my God. It just got way too much. Like, I remember I stopped watching whenever they were in that like dollhouse with Mona.
I
can't do this.
I could
anymore.
Not do that.
Yeah.
This is too meta for Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah.
Way, way too much. I guess, yeah, you have to keep, like, a journal to be able to keep track of who A was if you really wanted to. Like, the amount of times that it changed and flipped and flopped. And the inappropriate storylines that were in that show. Because I would say it was marketed to, like, 12 to 14-year-old girls because that's what the book series was marketed to, you know? And it's based off of a book. And, I mean, I never read those, so who knows if that's what was really in the book. You know, the pill problem and the Ezra and Arya love affair.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's really disgusting.
They really tried to make, like, demonize Arya's parents for not wanting her to be in a relationship with her teacher.
I know.
They were not in the wrong. That was crazy.
I know. The pill problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the only thing like that was good about Pretty Little Liars, though, was that the acting was like pretty good.
The acting was pretty good because they had good actresses. I mean,
yeah,
the wardrobing was consistent. Nevertheless, they had it down to an equation.
Yeah.
I would say for each of those bitches, but I liked Pretty Little Liars. That's why I couldn't write it down. I don't know, but I do know what you mean about it being like not coherent or like thought out, because I definitely stopped watching at some point, so I'm not rating like the whole series, but just like, it's not one of the worst shows I've ever seen. But I want to talk about some reality shows, because I showed you Moment of Truth over the summer. I forced your mom to watch it whenever we were in Hawaii.
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh, the poison. That is
God.
Like early 2000s like game shows specifically. So Moment of Truth, if you don't know what it is, it's basically Cody Ko did like a video about it, which is what got me into it, and then I found out that the entire series is on YouTube, all 45 minute episodes. So I went down a Moment of Truth hole for the summer, and it's basically this game show where people have to like answer questions honestly, and it's in front of a bunch of people.
It's kind of just like they're like friends and family that are just like sitting right there.
And it's in front of a live audience.
Yeah,
and they answer these questions beforehand and like a lie detector test, and so they don't know the results of the lie detector, so basically that's what like the show is them like going through the results of the lie detector, and these people have done the craziest things. I don't know how you could go on this show knowing that you've done like half of the fucking things that
because like they're gonna say it, like
it's gonna come out.
Like your friends and family are gonna find out. It's like, why would you go on the show?
I mean, some of these things is like I've never even heard of doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. It's like it couldn't even be written. It's like this girl will be sitting there with her husband and her boss, and she like has fucked her boss, and like she denies it. Like that's just like an example. They've like stolen money from their parents. Both of their parents are sitting right there. And so basically, I forgot to mention this. The whole point is that you want to win money. You like get a bunch of money for answering the questions right. There's like an incentive to it, but hardly, because basically. It's like a pyramid type of system. So you answer like 5 questions at the beginning for like, I think, $5,000, and then 5 more questions or something like that for $10,000, and then so on and so on, and it leads up to potentially $1 million. But nobody has ever won $1 million on the show. And I think somebody has come really close, but the second that you don't answer a question right, like truthfully, then you lose all of the money and you've just exposed your entire life to all of America for no reason.
For nothing, yeah.
For no reason. And so I've seen it happen a lot of times, like after people get past $100,000 and they get really excited. To me, if you've just done all of that and you make $100,000, go home.
Yeah. But call these it people, a day. You don't need yeah. More.
Exactly, but like you're not gonna make that much money in probably the next 2 years. Probably most of these people, it seems.
Yeah.
So just take this money and go. But you know they're not the smartest group of people, so they just get like hyped up, and there's the crowd telling them to keep going. Some of them have like gambling problems.
Yeah.
So of course they're gonna keep playing, which is like the best trope. And then they lose their money. It's crazy. It's honestly really sad. Like, I had to stop watching it. I think I could do one Moment of Truth episode a day.
And yeah,
that was it.
You have to ration it. Because honestly, like, if you have ever cheated on your significant other, that is, like, the first thing they're going to say. Like, do not go on that show. Or just, like, I don't know. Just, first step, don't cheat on your significant other. But, like, if you already have... It's if you don't want them to know, it's gonna come out. Like, come on, that's just so obvious to me. I don't know.
I know. The worst part, I've watched an interview with the host of that show. I think Cody Ko interviewed him, right?
Yeah, he did.
And he was talking about how much he like fucking hated doing that show. You know, like he did not want to do it, and like he was always trying to tell the participants like take the money and like go, because I mean, the reason why I had to stop. I finished everything that was on YouTube. The reason why I could only watch one episode a day was because I just had a hard time being so traumatized by how horrible some people really are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're telling the truth. It's crazy. And sometimes, so like a lot of times people get caught in like lying, trying to protect themselves in front of, you know, their significant other, whatnot. But I mean, that will end up coming out true, but a lot of times people are totally fine with just admitting that they've done this and that right in front of their girlfriend, their parents, and it is discomforting but entertaining nevertheless. And it gives money to really shitty people.
Yeah, that is so true. But I can imagine though, like as a host though, you really are watching people's lives get destroyed, like right in front of you, even if they like are terrible people. Like you're seeing the fans and like the friends and family's lives like kind of be destroyed too. It's just like so much harm.
All of them.
I
know. It's like it has like a trickle down effect to like everybody that they brought, because not only they talk about relationships. It's not like they just talk about that person. You know, that's why they brought those people there. So, it's really really juicy. So if you're looking for something like that, would recommend, but just be warned because it's traumatizing. I'm not gonna lie. Okay, so what's next for you?
The next one I had was, we could probably talk about this one for a long time. I said Glee.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about that.
It's awful, but also literally my favorite show. Like, I'm not even kidding. I've rewatched it more than any other show probably ever.
Yeah, you definitely have. So what is the worst season of Glee for you?
Oh, well, like anything after season 4.
Like,
no, it was terrible. And not even like funny terrible. It's just like, what is going on?
Yeah, they tried to carry it down to Next Generation, but didn't give us any likable characters.
Yeah, I know. Like, everybody sucked.
Anything entertaining.
Right.
Yeah, I mean... I did not like it after season 4. My favorite season definitely is season 2, though.
Season 2 is really good. That's really a good one.
What's your favorite episode of Glee?
Ooh, I like the duets one where Sam comes in. I love that episode.
Oh,
so
my
good.
God. I was literally just thinking about that in my head.
Yeah, because I love Sam.
Okay.
But that's just the fun thing about Glee, though, is that... if you talk about it with somebody else, no matter who you say your favorite is, like, they're going to disagree. Who you say your least favorite is, they're going to disagree. Like, everybody on that show, like, sucks. So it's kind of just like whatever. Yeah. Like, yes.
Wait, do you know who my favorite is? Do you know who mine is?
Is it Quinn?
No. No, I do love Quinn, but no.
Okay. Wait, who is it?
I'm shocked you don't know. You don't know who my favorite singer is.
Oh, your favorite singer?
Singer. Yeah, sorry. I should have said that. And character, kind of.
Is it not Mercedes?
No. No, it's Santana.
Oh, okay,
I'm surprised. Okay. I'm so shocked you didn't know that.
I don't know. I just didn't think she would be your favorite.
No, I love Santana. She always does Amy Winehouse songs, remember?
Oh, yeah. No, that's I love Santana.
I really like her. Yeah. So she's my favorite. I like Kurt a lot, too, though.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Well, he was fine towards the yeah, but Kurt was fine towards the end, but I didn't like him at the beginning whenever him and Blaine were, like, getting together. Because this is so specific, but Blaine for a second before they were dating, he thought maybe he was bi, and so he was gonna go on a date with Rachel, and then Kurt got mad at him and was like, "You're not bi, you're just confused." I was like, "Oh, my
oh
God. Yeah." So that was like weird. I didn't. So and then also just like weird. The whole thing where he said. His dad and Kurt's mom up, I mean, and Finn's mom up, so he would be closer with Finn.
That was, I was gonna say, something was weird about him and Finn. I remember that. I didn't like him in the beginning. He was so scrawny and tiny and weird. You know, he looked like 12 years old. He was like a little drummer
well,
boy.
Was. He was the youngest on the show, like the actual actor.
Deadass.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't like, know he that. Was like eight, well, he was like 18 whenever the show started.
I thought you were about to say, he was like 18 months old.
I say young, but like
he looked.
But everybody else on that show
young,
was like 30, playing
35,
school, so.
Exactly.
So being 18, it's like yeah, you're young.
I know.
Yeah.
Literally, I could have played a toddler at what's the high school name?
McKinley.
McKinley.
Yeah. Like the only redeeming quality of Glee is the music. Because just the storylines are just so insane.
They're really bad. Yeah. But I mean, again, at the time, I really liked it. So that's why I don't think I really even registered. I rewatched like the iconic episodes, but I haven't gone through to do this, to do, you know, all of the episodes because you're right. The storylines aren't that good. They're
they
not
took
that
it off
interesting.
Of Netflix as well.
No, they did. Okay.
Yeah,
that's really unfortunate,
so
actually.
I wanted
Where do
to
you watch
it, but I don't.
So
sad.
We need to get like a DVD or something?
I guess.
Something?
Ugh.
That kind of sucks ass.
I know.
So, what are like your favorite, or let's not go favorite. We're talking about the worst TV shows. So, what are like the most cringiest? The cringiest Glee moments or songs that you think of.
I mean, this is like a really popular opinion, but literally any time Mr. Schuster rapped.
Yeah.
Oh
wait,
God.
Why did I not even think about Will Schuster until just now? Are we talking about
just
Glee?
His whole character is what's wrong with the show.
Oh my God.
I hate him. Like, that's what's wrong with the whole first season is he is the storyline.
He's too much,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's before anyone else had an identity and had established themselves.
Yeah.
So they gave it. They gave like all the throwaway moments, which they had a lot of in season one, to Will Schuster, and so he had a little bit too much in his pants for season two, and then there was just no putting him down from there. That's really the storyline of Will. I don't like. I'm recalling a moment where he's singing in Spanish that I don't like either. Yeah, don't like that.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. That was a pretty nice. Really weird self-aware moment that they had was because he was a Spanish teacher but he wasn't really like fluent in Spanish before, and he did it because it was like pretty much the only option to be a teacher there is what was available. And then he sang that song to the Glee Club, and Santana Lopez was like, she kind of called him out and was like, oh, why were you a Spanish teacher? Do you not see how this is like really weird for you to do? And like, you're like kind of singing this song and you're like kind of making a mockery of the like culture and language and stuff, and you don't even realize
it. Wow.
So
that was in the script?
Well, she kind of like worded it better.
Yeah.
But like. But like, it actually was in the script.
Snappier
so
and
weird.
Bitchier.
Yeah. Definitely.
That is interesting.
So I don't know. They had some really weird, random good moments, but for the most part, it's like, Thanks.
Excuse me. I just burped. Nene Leakes on Glee.
Yes. She was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Nene Leakes on Glee. I mean, that was a really good role for her to fill. Too bad she can't sing.
Did she have like any songs on the show? I don't even remember.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember because neither did Coach. Coach, what's her face?
Sue Sylvester. She had some songs.
Coach.
She sang. Super bass.
Super bass.
Yep.
Yeah. Sue Sylvester is a total barb.
Oh, absolutely. That was literally what the whole episode was about. It was barbs versus Katy Perry fans.
Like, that's so funny. Oh my god. Wait, so that's a later season?
I think probably season 4. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Whenever like some people moved to New York and that kind of stuff, it just all went to hell. And I understood what happened because at some point, when you have a show set in high school, like they have to graduate.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of how it's kind of how it is, especially when they're getting pregnant and like obviously getting older, and like 35 already. So yeah. I understood, like I respected that they didn't just try to pretend that they were gonna be in high school forever. I don't know if that's what did Pretty Little Liars do that, or did they go off to college?
Honestly, who knows? I have who no knows? Idea.
They probably.
I don't even know the resolution. Yeah,
I know.
But what's so interesting though about Glee is like you. I feel like they were trying to do what Degrassi successfully did, where like. Like they tried to replace the cast, but like they just kind of realized it wasn't going to be the same. So they kept the same. So they like kept Rachel and Kurt in the show, just in New York. But like Degrassi was able to like have different classes. Like that's like, I don't know. I don't understand the difference.
They would have never. Yeah, they would have never been able to find that same like toxic, problematic equation of people.
No. Because like even the actors, I know there was so much drama like behind the scenes, so iconic. Oof. Oh yeah, I'm just saying because even the actors of Glee, they had so much like drama behind the scenes.
I know.
That's just so funny.
What are the biggest scandals? Because I know that Lea Michele was a pain in the ass to be around.
Oh yeah.
I can kind of tell from just and she was mean to Mercedes. What is Mercedes' real name? I'm sorry.
Amber Riley.
Amber Riley, yeah. What are the other like scandals that happen behind the scenes?
Well, one of like the biggest ones is just Diane Agron versus the creator of the show, Ryan Murphy.
Diana Agron being
her.
Quinn?
Yeah, Quinn, sorry. But they hated each other. And so that's why her it manifested in the show too, because her character Quinn, yeah, like she got like character assassinated in the show, pretty much. Like, and that's why, it's because her
early
and
on
did
too
not get along. Yeah.
Wow. Well, how did they not get along? What happened?
I think she just had a lot of disagreements about like where to go with the show, and I don't know. It's crazy, but what he does though is he has like a lot of like favorites. In general, that like get cast in other shows too. Like Blaine is one of them. Lea Michele is one of them.
Yeah.
And they get like other roles from him. So it's just kind of like whatever they say goes. And then if you're one of those other characters, it's like you can't really. I don't know. So he hated Diana Agron. So that was a whole thing.
Damn. See, that makes sense because like you never really saw her do much after that, and I expected her to kind of pop off. I do like Quinn. You're right. She is one of my favorite characters on the show. I think she has a wonderful voice, and she's a good actress. Yeah. So it's unfortunate that the producer would have to hold her back like that. Yeah. Especially
but
for someone like Lea Michele. No, you're
fine. I know. Like, she's a great singer, but also just, like, it's Lea Michele.
Like, fuck off, yeah.
Right. another, like, fun fact, though, about Glee is... They covered the song We Are Young by Fun before it was playing on any radio stations or anything. Like, they made that song popular.
Special release.
Pretty much. It wasn't, like, it was just, like, an indie song. And they covered it, and, like, and then it got super mainstream.
So
So they're responsible
Fun
for,
wasn't
like,
a big brand.
Yeah. So Glee is responsible for Jack Antonoff's career, which is responsible for the band Bleachers. And he's written songs for artists like Lorde, Lana Del Rey, Taylor Swift. Like, he,
now I see the relevancy. So, okay,
thank you, Glee.
Thank you, Glee. Never thought I would say that. Thank you, Glee, for covering fun. I didn't know that they were, like, indie at first, and then they popped off. I kind of just thought it all happened at the same time. Okay, cool. Yeah. Damn, so they're, like, underground, like, scouting.
I guess. I don't know how they do
it. At least for one episode. That's funny. Because, I mean, for the most part, they kind of bank off of people knowing the songs already, so that way they have, like, that kind of, at least a nostalgic feel to it, or just, like, a pop culture thing to it.
Yeah.
I loved their Britney versus Britney episode.
Oh, amazing. One of the best.
I can watch it every day.
Like, the songs were good, but when you think about the storyline, you're just like, wow, how did somebody sit down and write that? Wasn't that episode where they're, like, at the dentist and they're, like, under anesthesia? Mm-hmm. Hello?
And they're having, like, Britney dance hallucinations.
Sequence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, how did they write that?
I have no idea. I figured they just, the Britney contract came first, and then the writing of the episode came completely secondary to the rest of the season, and to knowing that Britney was going to be there. So they just had to figure out how to work her in there, and they only had probably 15 minutes, but they wanted to make it about her the entire episode, so.
Yeah.
They did it. A good job.
This is so funny.
I know. So, we also recently watched Sister Wives with Nana.
Oh, yes.
And I had to put that on the show because that show is fucking awful.
Yeah, that show's crazy.
Oh, my God. So, I did a little deep dive on some of the Sister Wives controversies because we watched the episodes, like, or whatever. It was, like, on, like, releasing currently, like, whatever season they're on right now. So they were, like, in COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, 2021, 2020, some shit like that. And this show has been on for a while, right? And they were talking about how they're having so many difficulties during COVID and quarantine. Like, this is the first time that they've all been going through some of this. And mind you, it's one guy married to four different women. And how could this be for the first time because of quarantine? This is the first time that you're having issues between your marriage. And, like, that's when I just couldn't get over when I was watching it. I was like, how are they claiming that this is the first time they're having marital issues between the five of them?
Like, everything was fine before quarantine.
Because
their system is so crazy. Like, just if you haven't watched the show before, it's just, like, this one man. He has, what is it, four different wives?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't all live in one house. All the wives have their own house. He doesn't have a house. He just travels.
He hops
between their houses. And that's it. That's their whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And
separate accommodations.
How did that work?
Who would agree? Who would, like, agree?
Fights over that before? Yeah, who would agree to that?
Yeah. So, also, basically, that whole claim is a complete fat fucking lie because they have definitely had issues in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So, I looked up a little bit about it, and apparently, one of the wives was married to Cody's brother before she married him. Yeah. It was his sister-in-law.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Can you believe that? So,
I mean, for them, yeah.
Yeah. Like, checks out. Yeah. It's like, it kind of goes hand in hand, maybe. It kind of is like, you might as well be. I don't know. I feel like that's, like, his reasoning. He's not cute either. That's what I can't get over. He's so,
so
ugly. Like, not that any of the women could, like, do astronomically better, I think. But, like, they don't need to be sharing this ugly dude with four other people.
No, not
that's
at all.
That's gross.
It's so funny.
And, like, also doesn't make sense in a time of COVID.
Yeah,
now that I'm thinking about it, like, I don't want to go there, but
No.
Sorry, I'll just move on. But they had so many rules about COVID, and I was wondering why, but I guess that makes more sense now. Anyways, so Also, they were, so we were also wondering how they could get away legally with being polygamous, because I was under the assumption that it is illegal federally, and they were investigated by police at one point, and so they fled to Las Vegas, which I think they lived in Utah in the season we were watching, right? Right?
I think they had just moved to Arizona.
Arizona?
Yeah.
All right. So now they live in Arizona, but they did flee to Nevada, and they ended up winning their case. So that's why they can get away with the show. Wow. I guess it's just fine now. And then, like, they have other spinoff Sister Wives series, apparently.
So are they all legally married, or what?
Okay, so that was also really confusing. I didn't look that up specifically, but it seems like he is married. He was married to one of them, and actually one of them in the show says that they're divorced now. I think it was like the one that wasn't getting along with her. I don't know, Mary or something, some shit like that. Because there was also a scandal where she was being like catfished by somebody online. That was like a storyline on the show by some like male quote unquote Australian model. Yeah, unfortunate for Mary. It was really sad for her. But I guess that they're like divorced, and so he remarried this younger new wife, Robin, and because he needed to adopt their children. I don't know. This isn't that interesting, but there's a lot of logistics to how they maneuver. So basically, he had to marry her for that, and with that comes everyone else who's not married to him, but like they assume marriage based on their relationship. They get jealous because they're like, well, why didn't you do that for me? I guess I don't know. I don't know. I literally saw like the three episodes that we watched, and then I did a little bit of research tonight with my free time.
But the whole thing though was like, that one like part where there, this one of the wives made like an offhand remark to another wife about how she like she makes the rules, and he got all Robin makes was the like rules. I don't have a head wife. I make the rules. He's like, oh, could my you God, imagine you're crazy. Me? And I was like, you're crazy.
Cody reports to no head wife.
What?
Could you imagine being in a scenario like, that where so that crazy. Sentence is being yelled at you? Head wife.
Like, hello?
Hello? That is bizarre. I just couldn't get my head around the whole thing. I'm not gonna lie. It was, like, on par with like, this season of The Bachelor. I don't know if you've watched that, but I put that on
You watch
The
Bachelor?
List. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I am watching this season for sad
reasons.
I am
also watching this season.
It's really, really
That's
sad.
Crazy.
I didn't watch this last episode because I was just so pissed after the last episode. Like
they
one
went to Houston.
They went to Houston? Shut the fuck up. No, I didn't watch it. I was in a bad mood. And I didn't want to watch Colton make out with a bunch of girls. Which
Colton?
Is
Colton?
Isn't that his name?
Are you watching the newest season?
The Bachelor?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Clayton,
sorry.
Colton is the gay one.
I don't know. I've literally only watched one season. This is it.
Okay, sorry.
And then I watched last season of Bachelor in Paradise with my friends. And like sprawling episodes here and there. But I've seen like the first, three episodes minus this week's. So, Colton, Clayton, whatever. He's really not that memorable. He isn't. He's not interesting. Yeah.
No personality.
None. And so that's
Do you have any like favorite girls?
I don't know if I remember their names, let's be honest.
Because I like Rachel and Teddy, and I think Shanae is funny. No, she's batshit crazy.
You like Shanae? Fuck
no, I don't like her. She's literally insane, but she makes the show interesting. And she's also like definitely a plant from the producers. Like she's not really.
Oh, you think so? And does she plant Shanae?
Yeah.
Clayton. I can't believe I thought his name was Colton. Okay. I like Elizabeth.
Yeah.
ADHD girl. I don't understand why it's 2022 and like ADHD shaming is like a thing.
I know, that was crazy.
That was
Shanae,
like, really
she had to
out
like
touch.
On her Instagram, she had to turn her comments off because she was
I believe
harassed. Yeah.
It was very, very out of touch. I was like,
yeah, I don't
are
know why she said
kidding
that.
Kidding me?
No, I don't like
Shanae.
I just think she makes it interesting.
Okay. I I think she'll stay in because, like, what are they going to do without her storyline-wise? Like, because I don't think any of these other girls are going to bring it.
No.
They're too, like, right now they're kind of just kissing Elizabeth's ass. So they that someone needs to either take over. Like, that's what I'm seeing. And I like her, but she is getting, like, yeah, exactly. Like, people are kissing her ass too much. Genevieve, she looks exactly like Rachel Berry to me. I'm sorry.
That's so true.
But I saw that instantly, and I just can't unsee it, and I kind of don't like her for it. But yeah. She can stay, because she's still in, I'm pretty sure. A lot of people left really early, which I thought was interesting. But here's my thing about Clayton, is that he doesn't know how to fucking talk, right? He doesn't know how to have a conversation, anything interesting. Nothing he says is interesting, stimulating, mm-hmm. or, like, carries a conversation to a better level, or, like, yeah. brings up a new topic, or, like, makes a new idea. Like, nothing he says does any of those things, so he just makes out with all of them.
No, literally. All it is like, I feel like we have such a deep connection. And then, bam, yes, they're making out. I'm like, okay. Bam. Like,
right. It's like, but to put it in perspective, though, like, if you were getting those 30 seconds with that guy and you made out with him, like, I would think I had a connection with him, too. Yeah. But when he's doing that with every single person, mm-hmm. and you see it back to back, I literally saw on last week's episode just, like, a quick reel of him making out with, like, four girls.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's kind of uncomfortable. Like, I feel bad watching it. Like, I want to go tell them.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand how they, like, do that. I could never do mm-hmm. that.
I really don't understand the group psychology of it all, because in the early stages, this is, like, from what I'm seeing so far, it seems like they're all just kind of like, we just want to get to know him. Like, we're all just here to get to know him, whatever. Let's get to know each other. And then they start, like, getting feelings for him, and then they're like, they don't want to, like, share him. So yeah. That becomes, like, combative, and then they get jealous with him, you know what I mean? And then they're confronting him about having feelings, but, I mean, it's going that way every single time. It's just, like, such a confusing thing to watch. I couldn't imagine agreeing to it.
No. There's, like, also, they keep showing this, like, clip for, like, towards the end of the season of him talking to three girls and saying, like, I was intimate with all three of you, and I'm in love with all three of you. I'm like, and they're like, what? I'm like, that's what the show is.
Disgusting. Like, that's what I think happen. I decided I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, no, it's a little crazy, but I love it. Like,
you see, my reality, like, thing is I like a little bit more than just, like, the love drama. And I don't like something mm-hmm. that's so patriarchal. I think is because it's just like stroking his cock the entire time. Like,
yeah.
The scenes of them like running on the beach and stuff to him, like, I can't even watch it. Like, it's just so weird to me. And like, this is bizarre. Like, I feel weird mm-hmm. as a girl watching it. Like, I feel like it should be a guy show at some moments. You know what I mean?
The only way I justify it though is that there is also a Bachelorette where they do the opposite. And so I'm like, at least it's not like just.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I liked Bachelor in Paradise because you might like this one too, because I think it's kind of like Love Island.
Yeah.
And basically it's like people who were on Bachelor or Bachelorette and like didn't win, obviously, they get to go on Bachelor in Paradise and like try to match up with other people who were on different seasons and stuff like that. And then as many people as they want can get like engaged. However many like successful couples they have. So it's not like one person wins or something like that. It's like if three couples leave getting engaged, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I like that one. That one was interesting. Yeah. And I think I would like Bachelorette a little bit more. I think it's just my little brain not liking the Clayton of it all.
I just can't imagine. I don't even think he's attractive. And he has no personality. So I'm just like, what am I not seeing that all these other girls are? Like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not getting it. So I really did put that on the list, was this season of The Bachelor.
Just this one.
Just this one. Because I can't speak for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people stand by it, so I don't want anyone coming after me. I have, like, a few other random ones that I just kind of blinked in my head that I used to watch that I thought were that really bad. You remember Tabitha's Salon Takeover?
No. What Deep is cut? That?
You don't remember Tabitha's Salon Takeover? Do you remember Tabitha?
Let me... Because I don't know.
Girl, I thought if anyone would know about Tabitha, it would be you. Come on now. Look up Tabitha. You just look up Tabitha. I promise you. Yes, you do.
I forgot about this
I told you,
show.
It's a deep cut.
Wow. Her, like, platinum blonde hair.
Yes, it's unmistakable.
Wow, I really forgot about her.
How did you forget about Tabitha?
Oh, man.
I don't really remember much about the show, but she's kind of like the Gordon Ramsay of hair salons. Mm-hmm. She goes in and does like a Kitchen Nightmares version of hair salons. The salons are disgusting. And she's like this really snippy little Australian, sophisticated Australian woman with this like sleeky, sashaying silver hair. And I don't know, she's really sleek. I wish I was Tabitha one day, you know. I can't wait to be her at some point in my life.
Yeah.
Wow. She's really I'm aspirational. Really scared about that. She is like the blueprint for like a boss babe. You know?
Yeah.
Cause she was like early 2000s. She's like,
oh my god, wait, is she gay? Sorry.
Tabitha?
I think she is.
Get Tabitha as a gay icon? Breaking news?
She's gay. Wow. Sorry,
I don't know why I'm surprised. Why am I surprised?
I know, I don't...
Now that, like, that makes a lot of sense, not gonna lie.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, good for her. Okay. Queen, LGBTQ icon, Miss Tabitha. But her show was pretty atrocious. But I think it's entertaining, but, like, you know, low budget, 2000s, little, like, 30-minute version of a Kitchen Nightmares kind of thing. Like, pre-Project Runway, I would say. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of Project Runway, girl, America's Next Top Model.
Yeah,
that show fucking sucks. I have like some of the most problematic moments. So there's that I could just like think of. So there's this blind girl who was on one of the seasons who was so pretty, stunning. And they made her walk. One of the first challenges, of course, no accommodations. None at all. Right? No. None for the blind model because of the photo shoots. In the real world, they won't have accommodations, according to Tyra.
That's exactly what she would say.
Right, because that's not legally required. Exactly.
Right.
And so they made them walk on a runway, like, in the dark. So she had no shadow cues or anything.
Oh
or like anything like that. And she was wearing heels, of course. It was probably elevated. Completely dangerous. There was a lot of I can recall a lot of times when people got injured. There was this for no reason, like, people just went so hard for Tyra. And, like, the way Tyra was idolized on the show, and just, like, literally a fucking god. Because all of the photo shoots were based off of her. Literally, her pictures were in every nook and cranny of that show. Anywhere she could smudge her big head into. And, like, the way that they just, like, set up the whole contract and, like, the show system to be, like, Tyra is the one giving us these opportunities. They, like, idolized her so much. And so they would put themselves through such extreme situations for no reason. Like, there's no reason to do all this for a little photo shoot, girl. Come on now.
Yeah.
So this one girl was literally... I don't remember why she was hospitalized. I'm gonna be completely honest. But she was. I genuinely don't remember why. And then... She leaves the hospital before her doctors tell her, before her doctors get back, and she goes to the photo shoot. Mind you, they're in Asia.
Oh my god.
She goes to the photo shoot. They're doing a photo shoot with live animals. She has to shoot on top of an elephant.
Oh my god.
She's like, just like fresh out the hospital. She's like, gotta shoot on this elephant. Oh my god. And so her photo, it was really stunning and like really high fashion, I'm not gonna lie. But she's just like hunched over on this, on sitting on top of this elephant. And like, mm-hmm. there's like dark bags under her eyes. and it worked for her and that like aesthetic, but it was like, why would you do all of that for this one picture? Yeah. Just take the L. My god. So first of all, the transphobia, I don't know if you've seen it on that show, but it is atrocious.
Really?
Yeah, there was I don't know what year it was, but I want to say it was like season 7 and 8. There was a transgender woman who was on the show and she was beautiful. Her name was Isis. And she went really far in the series, or in that, like, cycle or whatever. But a lot of the other contestants were, like, really transphobic to her. Mm-hmm. And one of the other people was, one of the girls was from Spring, Texas, which we know where that is. Not far away at all. And her, one of her quotes, exactly, was, like, if you walk around like that in my town, like, you get shot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, like, what she said in one of her little interview things. Yeah, and she didn't get disqualified.
Wow.
For, like, kind of indirectly threatening to shoot.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like, for no reason, just, like, calling violence on, like, another contestant. Like, why would you say that? Just insane. Right. And then just, like, you should have just seen the bombardment of questions that they asked her. Oh, my God. And I mean, she was really nice about it, but yeah. Anyways, they did that by that like photo shoot where they changed races.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've seen that one. We have to talk about one. Oh yeah, they chose like really niche races or like nationalities and identities.
Yeah, like they were really specific. I don't know why.
It was like Northern Eskimo Pacific. Or like Eastern Sicilian Italian.
Yeah. It's like
Southeastern Russian. It's like I don't know what that even is. Yeah. So it was really specific and just really problematic from the jump because I think they wanted to go for like the most extreme transformations that they could like pull off, you know? Yeah. So, some of the girls did blackface, obviously, and this was in probably what, I don't know what season it was, but I mean, it was between, like, 2004 and 2010, so, like, not that fucking long ago, and just too recent to be doing anything like that,
mm-hmm.
and, like, for none of the contestants even, which is what surprised me, is because there's a lot of black contestants on the show, and to my recall, I don't think any of them, you know, said anything about it being problematic that some of the white girls are put in blackface, because I would have thought that they would have called them out. It was just, like, it went over everybody's head. Like, they just saw it as
I mean, also, like, Tyra is black.
Tyra is black.
And it was like, okay.
Exactly. And their makeup director, I forgot his name. Damn it, it's fine. But he is Hispanic. And then Ms. J, also black. Miss J, and then there's Jay Alec, the other Jay, who's like the creative director. But speaking of Miss J fat shamed a lot of the contestants, and a lot of contestants got eliminated just for gaining weight while they were on the cycle.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I just remember like one specific thing. It was like talking about how you would be classified as plus size, and it's like the skinniest girl I've ever seen in my life.
She's like a size 4, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Literally. And I think now the show is a little different because it's been obviously rebranded with like Ashley Graham and stuff is one of those.
Yeah.
And obviously just the modeling world itself is really, really different if you've online shopped at all recently.
Yes.
You know, nobody buys clothes off of size 0 sample sizes anymore, you know? At least not at the stores that I shop at. So I just think that this is, like, really reflective of, like, the industry at its time, but also just, like, mm-hmm. somebody's unwillingness to, like, be different. Like, Tyra just, like, wanting to have a show and wanting to put somebody out there, but, like, also not wanting to be that different and, like, you know, stand up for anything that real, you know?
Yeah.
Because you would think if, you know, they're set up with these, like, bullshit little contracts, and I've read into some of these, the outcomes of like the people who win their cycles, because a lot of them really aren't that successful. And there's a lot of reasons why this is, and part of it is because that, you know, they're completely amateur models whenever they enter the competition, so most of them haven't had like any single photos of them taken. Like, they just think they're pretty and tall and they want to try it out, whatever, and they just happen to be good at it. So they have no portfolio, and the only portfolio they have are these bullshit little Tyra Banks inspired photo shoots that they have. I've listened to like podcasts talk about it, of like winners, and they're like, I couldn't use any of those photos in my portfolio. If I walked into an audition with those pictures, they would have laughed at me. Like, they aren't usable, you know. So sure, they have a contract, but you know, they have a contract, but they're kind of more sold as entertainers and like America's Next Top Model contestants, and not as models, you know, they're reality show contestants. So they don't have any experience, and they don't have any help either, apparently, because they also shoot the cycles. They shot like, what, 20 in like a span of 7 years, like an insane amount. Yeah, it was crazy. I'm maybe exaggerating by 2 or 3 years, but not that much. Like, they did like 2 a year at least. And so the people had like 15 minutes of fame, and then there was another top model out. So they didn't have any time to like ride out their glory and like, you know, like get the most out of their contract, essentially, and like their cycle. So the whole thing was just like set up to fail to begin with. But yeah, that's America's Next Top Model. I watched a few little episodes about, we'll end it on this. Sorry, it's getting a little late. But I was doing a little deep dive on some Extreme Home Makeover edition.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I've always questioned like the plausibility of that show, like how they're just able to A, get that fucking house up in like 72 hours. Like, it's insane. Yeah. They do it like over the weekend, you know? And like, I'm pretty sure building a house takes like several months. I don't know much, but at least a few months. So the whole thing just doesn't make sense. That, and then how they get the money for it all, bewilders me. And then they do this like every week, so how do they have this energy to pull off these life transforming experiences every weekend? So, you know, obviously nothing is clear as it seems. And apparently a lot of the families who receive houses from the series end up having to sell their homes afterwards, because they're then stuck with paying the mortgages on these fucking giant houses. Mm-hmm. And they have to pay the taxes on them too. It's like, you didn't think about that.
I'm surprised they would. I don't know. Like, I understand you can only help those families for so long, but like they wouldn't help them after the fact too. I don't know.
I know, but there's like, there's occasional episodes I've seen where like somebody will sponsor their mortgage or something like that, or they'll get a check, but for most of them, no, it's on them. So that whole thing is just stupid from the beginning. But I genuinely think that host, Ty Pennington, is on speed, the way that he mumbles and rumbles around the entire premise. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way he can pull off all of that, the way he's yelling and screaming and jerking at the camera.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's definitely on one, for sure. And then there's also been a lot of controversies about them just, like, as usual, not, like, scouting out, like, the families. And then, like, this was the one that was really fucked up. This really, really, really grinded my gears. Okay, so there was this family that adopted these 5 orphaned children. They were all related, right? These children were all siblings, and they had lost both their parents. And so this couple took them in. So Ty Pennington, being the speed queen he is, decides that he's going to give this family with a giant house via Extreme Home Makeover. Then these children, I believe, in the article, I'm assuming that they were black or minority or something, but something happened, and the parents or whatever, not their parents, but like the adoptee parents or foster parents, they were saying racist shit to the kids, and apparently were like physically assaulting them Yeah, and abusing them, yeah. And so the kids band together, and they went to court, and they got out of there. But then guess what? The parents kept the house.
Oh, my
this,
God.
Yeah, the parents kept the house. And so the kids sued Extreme Home Makeover. Not the first people to do that. The kids sued Extreme Home Makeover, and Todd Pennington, whoever the fuck, said that the house was gifted to the parents. Not to the kids. Wow. That's fucked up. Yeah.
That is crazy.
I know. Bullshit. Yeah. So, on a similar note, I wrote this down. I just want to talk about it really, 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 really quickly. Is the Horde show, Trading Spaces. Do you remember that?
Trading Spaces. It sounds familiar.
It came up on my TikTok, like, kind of recently. Lauren, you have to watch a Trading Spaces compilation if you haven't. There's, like, one or two on YouTube. There's not many, but god awful. I used to love interior design shows like that, and Trading Spaces was basically, like, okay, this would be horrible. Imagine if we did this with our neighbors at home, okay? You basically partner up with your neighbors, and you both decide on a room that you're going to decorate for the other family with, like, they gave them literally, like, $1,000 budget. Mind you, one piece of furniture is probably, like, $1,000. So, in general, these makeovers are set up to fail. So, they just get the, like, the neighbors just, like, backfire on each other completely. And I watched this one today with this girl. Also, they are guided. The worst part of it is that they're guided by interior designers who make these choices for them. It's horrific. So, this one bitch decides that she's going to give them a beach-themed room. And they did the most horrific, like, I don't even know what it was. It looked like vinyl or, like, plastic. It was, like, yellow and red, vertical striped all over the walls. All over.
Oh, my God.
Like, Ronald McDonald, everywhere. Not the end of it. She put sand all over the floor. Yeah. Beach themed.
Oh, my God.
Beach themed. So gross. And then, oh my god, that reminds me of another one. So, I don't know what the fuck she was thinking in these. Like, she has to be on acid or something. Like, she is insane. Yeah. She's just, like, low budget. Like, I think she only has access to, like, the reject pile at Lowe's type beat. Like, she can't get her hands on anything because she decorated the walls with, I'm not kidding, straw.
Oh my God.
Glued a bunch of straw. An interior designer hired for a TV show glued straw on somebody's wall that they paid for that. And they walked in, they were like, what the fuck? Why did you put straw on the wall?
Oh my God.
She's like, yeah, I'm surprised you noticed that it was straw. But again, this is like 2003, so maybe that was in at the time.
Yeah, big straw era.
I know. I wish we would just bring back those kind of reckless little shows here and there.
Some bad reality TV. Now.
Little gems. Okay, well, this was good going down this alley, reminiscing on old TV shows. We'll have to do this again. Follow up. I could go on for more. To be honest, there's more on my list that I didn't talk about. Yeah. But yeah, I hope you have a great week. And I will see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.